The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Well, good morning again. Chapter 31. Do you know what chapter 31 means? We are at the end of the story today. It's been an epic journey, hasn't it? 31 weeks, plus a whole heap of others, so it's probably more like 40 or so weeks on this journey together. It's been great. Now, our hope and our prayer, and I guess as I've been preparing this week, my hope and prayer is that the story, as we've spent time looking at the story, that it's inspired you, that it's grown you, and it's encouraged you in your relationship with God. But before we jump into the last chapter, I want to talk some church with you very quickly. Some of you, it seems a little bit weird kind of making this announcement on a long weekend, and as you can see, there's plenty of room for us in this service, but I sent an email out during the week asking you to prayerfully consider, so those of you who come to the first service, to prayerfully consider the possibility of maybe moving into the second. And there's a couple of reasons why I've put that out there. And that is because our second service is quite small. Our first service is always at pretty much capacity. Some believe that when an auditorium is 75% full, it's full. And a lot of pastors say you need to start thinking about your next service when it's 75% full. One of the reasons why I'm putting this out there is because one of our themes, one of our dreams for this year is to pursue one, right? Who remembers what pursue one is? God's favourite number is zero. And the reality is that our church is not going to grow because the days are gone when people walk off the street. You know, we're tucked away on McNab Loop. We aren't on Canning Highway. And the reality is that we need to hold up the light of Christ in our world where God has us placed during the week in order for us to see the church grow. So that's why we're encouraging you to pursue one this year, to ask God to simply say, can you lead me to somebody who is a person of peace? Can you lead me to somebody who is open to the gospel so that I can share the light of Christ with them? And as we do that, you know what? As a leadership, we're believing this place is going to grow. And this service needs more room because we are over 75% most weeks. So what I'm prayerfully asking you to do is, not all of you, because if you all move to the second service, then we're going to have to ask some of you to come back. It's not for everyone, and I'm not saying that you have to, okay? This is a prayerful consideration, and if a chunk of you move to the second service, it means that that fills that service and gives that, not that it's not alive, but it just gives it a bit more oomph, and it means that this service has space to grow as we pursue one this year. Is that okay? Is that okay to say that? It's good. The second thing that I want to bring up this morning too, and we're just going to communicate this over a couple of weeks because, again, long weekend, not everybody's here, a lot of people go away. But we have decided that on long weekends that we're going to do all-in Sundays. And that means we're just going to do one service on those weekends. We're going to open it up, and we're going to get all in the one place, and we're going to be one church and one service, which will be, we already are one church, but you know what I mean. So you need to be aware of that. Obviously, we're not doing that today. And we look at doing that. The first service will be June 6th, or I think it's the Foundation Day long weekend. So you'll get more and more information about that as it becomes more and more close. So there's a couple of things, church, that I wanted to just bring up today. Can we pray before we launch into our last chapter in the story this morning? Let's pray. Jesus, we want you to continue to speak to us this morning. It's been so good just to worship you. It's been so good to just, I guess, metaphorically get into your throne room, to get on our knees, to lay down our crowns, to be focused on you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning. And we want you and we want your presence to continue to move and speak to us. Lord, grow us because we want to be more like you. I pray your streams of living water would flow and we would jump in and we would drink and we would taste and see that you are so good. Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me this morning, for my sins are many. I want to be a clean vessel, Lord, that you use this morning. Bless the words that come out of my mouth. May they be your words. May each and every one have a deep sense that you are here and that you are calling us to a deeper place with you. I pray these things in the awesome name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, confessing, I've just confessed, you know, that my sins are many. And the reality is, hey, we haven't arrived yet, right? And one of my sins is I like to watch TV. Who likes to watch TV? Now, TV for me is one of those things where you can sit down, no one talks to you, you can kind of switch off and you can just be sort of captivated by somebody else's story for a change. And there's certain shows that I tend to gravitate towards, and I imagine if you watch TV like me, there's probably shows that you really enjoy watching. So why don't you turn to the person next to you right now and say to them, I really like watching whatever that show is. So let's do that really quickly. Okay. Life Streams obviously watches a lot of TV. It's good. Who doesn't have a TV? Bless you. You are blessed. Well, I tend to gravitate towards the shows I think they call them reality shows. And the reality is that they're not often real. You know, I only just worked that out. You know, I flew to the US last year and I was with one of my pastor mates over there, and he was sharing how he really loved the American Picker show. It's one of my favorite shows. And he told me that it wasn't real. And I was devastated. I thought it was real. Sorry if I burst your bubble this morning and that you didn't know that. But the reality is that often the reality shows aren't really real. But one of my favorite genres is the renovation, rescue, backyard, blitz, building type shows. Who's kind of likes some of those? Thanks, Bob. There are heaps of them, isn't there? There's heaps on now. But probably the one that I really like the most, and I'll tell you why in a moment, is the Matt and Kim to the Rescue. Who's seen that one? I like that one because it's local. I like the fact that Matt and Kim are Western Australians. I like the fact that the family that's getting a new home renovated or a new home built is a family that is up against it. They're in tough circumstances and they deserve it. And that's what I love. I love to see an Aussie battler family getting a lift up. It's fantastic. I also love the fact that, you know, the trades and ordinary people from the community, they come together in community spirit. And I don't know, I just get excited about community spirit. And they donate supplies and they volunteer their time. And the show's usually about an hour, and the hour builds and there's, you know, always issues. Someone drops something or it rains and there's always something holding them back from getting it done. And it builds to the moment where the family returns for what? The big reveal. It's at that moment when we see the overwhelming joy as the family see their new home for the very first time. And if you're alive and if you've got a soul, the show usually stirs your heart and it moves you as you share the joy of that special moment when that family gets to see their new home. And often you're left there with a little bit of salt water sort of dribbling down your eye, and Leanne's not in the service. It's more like a torrential rain. I won't say that in the second service because I'm smarter than that. But it wells up in your eyes, and I just want you to have a quick look at this clip just to get in the vibe. Does that give you a little taste? The drama. And then the, oh my goodness. You know, they didn't say that. They kind of said something else. But I hope that just gives you a taste. And I was thinking during the week, why does it move us so much? Why does a show like this move us so much? The joy experienced in the big reveal, it's overwhelming. There's tears, there's joy, there's people holding their faces like that. Why? It's beautiful, isn't it? I reckon it moves us so much. And I believe it's because it gives us a small glimpse, tiny, small glimpse of what it's going to be like the day when our Heavenly Father reveals to us for the very first time our new home. I can't wait for that day. The day when we get our new place that God has been preparing. The day when we get to experience that overwhelming joy. I can't wait to see the expression on your face. It'll be incredible. There'll be so much joy, there'll be so much excitement in that moment, in that reveal. And at that moment, every ounce of pain will melt away and you will realize that it's all been worth it. All worth it. Because the reality is that right now, it is tough. It's tough now. There are challenges now. It's hard now. Life is not fair now. People are hungry and thirsty right now. There's loneliness now. There's anxiety now. There is depression now. And there is abuse now. This city saw a gross act of abuse this week, didn't we? There is abuse now. There is sin now. But God has placed inside each and every one of us a desire for a new home, a desire for heaven, a deep yearning for a new place, a different place, a home where all the tough things have passed away. Did you know at the time of writing of this book? So today we're going to open up Revelation. And I have a massive task to do the whole book in 20 minutes. I'm going to give it a shot. But did you know at the time of writing this book, it seemed that evil was winning. It seemed that Rome ruled the entire world. And the first hearers and the first readers of this book of Revelation are actually persecuted Christians that are scattered throughout Asia Minor. And they're under attack. Let me describe some of that attack. Christians are in dungeons. They're cast before wild beasts. They're beheaded. They're banished. And all seems to be lost. The devil seems to be consuming the church. The dragon of Rome seems to be spewing out fire. The beast that comes out of the abyss seems to be victorious. But things are not what they seem. Things are not as they seem. Because God sends an angel to John. John is in exile and he's on an island, the island called Patmos. And John writes down what he sees. And the letter becomes a massive encouragement. This book of Revelation becomes a massive encouragement to the churches. Because the book of Revelation reminds us and reminds the church that even though things will be tough, the triumphant Christ is with them. And that God will win in the end. If you don't get anything else today, the book of Revelation is basically telling us and encouraging us that God is going to win. God will win. It's exciting, hey? We can't lose. And it also gives us a glimpse of what is about to be revealed when God calls time on life as we know it. So, if you've got your Bibles, love you to open up to the book of Revelation. Now, I don't know about you. You probably read the book of Revelation and you get it. You go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And yeah, those weird animals and those things that are flying around and there's multiple eyes and multiple wings and, you know, you get it. But you know what? Often I'll read Revelation and I'll go to myself and I'll sit in the confines of my office and I'll go, what the dickens is going on there? Does anyone else get that when you read Revelation? Weird looking beast with funny eyes and wings. But we need to remember that Revelation, the book of Revelation, is a book of sounds. It's a book of images. It's a book of numbers and it's a book of metaphors and visions. Max Licato says this. I just love Max Licato. I've been saying this all the way through the story, haven't I? He's just got an amazing way of putting things. Here's a quotable quote from Max Licato. It says this: John is an artist with a palette of metaphors, and Revelation is more a book of imagination than explanation, more a symphony than a sermon, more theatre than classroom lecture, more Lord of the Rings than how-to. I love how-to books. We need to use our imagination as we read this book. If you want a logical, systematic unpacking of the faith, guess what? Book of Romans has been written for you. But if you want a multicolored painting that comes at you in HD, high definition, you've got the book of Revelation. Don't try to press every detail and dissect every image. Don't miss the rainbow of this book by counting the raindrops. How often do we count raindrops? I think that is great advice as we have a look at some of what Revelation says to us this morning. Let's jump into Revelation 1. Revelation 1, verse 8. Here is a key verse to this book. It says this: I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come. The, say it, church, the Almighty. And remember that this book, one of the reasons this book has been written, is to encourage the churches. So how does this verse encourage the churches? As you read that, as we as Life Streams Church this morning read that verse, how does that encourage you? Well, can I say that it reminds them and it reminds us that God is in control. Amen. God is in control. And then in Revelation verse 12, it says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. What's with the lampstands? What do the lampstands represent? The lampstands are the churches. And what does a lampstand do? It holds light, doesn't it? A lampstand holds light. And these verses tell us that Christ is among his churches as they hold the light of the world. That would have been a massive encouragement to those churches who first read this book. It would have been a massive encouragement to the early church, and it should be a massive encouragement to us today as we hold up, as we, the church, hold up the light of Christ to a dark world. Then let's jump down to chapters 2 and 3 in Revelation. We read how Jesus visits and walks amongst his seven churches, encouraging them and exhorting them to avoid pitfalls and also many of the problems that they'll face in their faith. Some of it is hard to hear. You might remember one of those verses has got something to do with being spit out of his mouth. You remember that bit? That's a pretty full-on word. But it's a great wake-up call. It's a great wake-up call for them And those words to those churches still speak to us to this day. It's awesome. Then in chapter 4, John gives us a glimpse of the great reveal. Okay, so remember how I started with Kim and Matt to the rescue? Here we go, you know, it's going to relate in some way, I promise you. The big reveal, a glimpse of the new home, a glimpse of heaven. Let's read it. Revelations 4, verse 1. And after this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here and I'll show you what must take place after this. At once I was in spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. This is a vision of the center of the universe. The center of the universe, church, is heaven. And in the center of heaven, there is a throne. And guess what? There is someone sitting on that throne. Who is that someone? It's the Almighty. It's our triumphant God seated on His throne. Again, this is a great reminder that to the early church, that Rome was not in control. Rome did not, even though it might have thought, did not sit on that throne. It reminds us that God is in control and that no nation sits on the throne, and maybe even a little bit closer to home, maybe it even reminds us personally that we don't sit on the throne. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say to them, you don't sit on that throne. Church, we are not sitting on that throne. You are not sitting on that throne. Right in the center of the universe is who? Is the Almighty God, the triumphant God. Who is being worshipped? It's a glimpse of the big reveal. Let's read on in Revelation 4, verse 6. It says, also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. And the first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stopped doing what? They never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay down their crowns before the throne and they say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their what? Their being. Church, it's good to be reminded from time to time that we are not at the center of the universe. That we are not seated on that throne. God is. God is the one who is worthy. God is the one who is worthy to receive glory and honor and power. He is the one worthy of our 24/7 worship, our whole of life, you know, that described in Romans 12. He is worthy of laying down our crowns. He is so worthy of our worship. Glimpse the center of the universe. Then in Revelations chapter 5 through to 9, we read about the scroll. And it has seven seals. And John reminds us of the story of the Lamb, what Jesus did. And John tells us that the Lamb, Jesus, is the only one worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals. And then we read about the challenges that are to come. Lots of ink has been spilt in interpreting or trying to interpret these chapters. There are many, many different ways for us to look at it. Many, many different ways of interpreting what is going on here and what is going to happen when God calls time. But the key message of Revelation is that Christ always conquers. Yes, there are and there will be problems, but Christ prevails. Christ will prevail. Christ has prevailed. Prevailed over natural calamities. You can read about that in chapter 8 of Revelation. He will prevail over demonic forces in chapter 9. He will prevail over the dragon in chapter 12 and the beast in chapter 13. You know what, church? The best shot of the devil will always fall short. Nothing can destroy God. Nothing can destroy His plan, and nothing can destroy His people. Amen? Let's now move towards the end of the book, where we get a glimpse. We get a glimpse of the big reveal, a glimpse of the new heavens and the new earth. It's almost like God says here in Revelation chapter 21, it's almost like there's this sense of stand up. Stand up, church. It's time for us to stand up. Can we stand up? Let's physically stand up as we read this. I want you to see. I want you to get a glimpse of what God has been doing, what God has been preparing for us, what He's been working on. It's awesome. It's a big reveal. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye." How good is that? There will be no more death. How good is that? Or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And then He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And He said to me, "It is done. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I'll be their God, and they will be my children." Does that get you excited? It's a glimpse of the big reveal. You can take a seat now, church. It gets me excited because God is making everything what? New. How awesome is that? Is that worth fighting for? Is it worth fighting for? Is it worth persevering through all the stuff, tough stuff that you might be going through right now, that you might have gone through, that you might go through into the future? Is it worth it? Absolutely. That day is going to be the best day ever. The day of the big reveal. The day where we will receive our new home, our brand new home, and every tear will be wiped away, and we will be with God, and God will be with us, His children. But the question that remains is this. And this is where the rubber hits the road, church. Will you be there? Will you be there on that great and glorious day? Will you enter into that new home prepared for you? This story has been all about God just simply wanting to do that, wanting to be with you. Do you this morning want to be with God? Will you be there? You know, we want you to be there. That's why we do what we do. We want you to be there. Oh, I want to see that overwhelming joy on your face on that day. You know, church, can we just bow our heads in an attitude of prayer right now? And I just want to just give you a few moments just to reflect on. You know, I've jumped all over the place this morning. We tried to tackle a book in 20 minutes. But what's the Spirit saying? What's the Spirit saying to you right now? Just a few moments just to listen. If our ushers could prepare now just to hand out communion, that would be fantastic. And as we sort of remain in an attitude of prayer, I want to remind you that this story that we've spent together journeying through over the last 31 weeks, has been all about God wanting to be with us. But the first two people, Adam and Eve, chose a very different vision. But God, as we read, had a plan from the very beginning to get us back. And as we've been journeying through the story on a number of fronts, it's looked pretty bleak. But God has never taken his eye off us. He's never veered away from his plan to get us back. And in the Old Testament, he established a brand new nation called Israel. And from Israel would come the solution, the Messiah. We can hand communion out, that'd be great. Jesus Christ. And Jesus would come, and on that day when he hung on the cross, he would bear all of our sins on himself and destroy death. And to those who choose the gift, they'll receive the forgiveness of their sins once and for all. And with that, the separation we've experienced from God because of our sin, because of the sin we were born with, is reconciled. And you know, church, that's exactly what we remember as we gather around the Lord's table. So can I encourage you, as you eat and you drink, do that in remembrance of what Jesus has done. Let's take a few moments to eat and drink. The story goes on, and after Jesus ascended to the Father, he started a brand new movement with new believers called the church. And the church is to spread the good news, to hold up the light of Christ in a dark world. and to tell the world that God is about to undergo an extreme makeover. There will be a new city with a new garden in the center of the city where God will dwell once again. And the only remaining question is this: will you be there? Will you be there? There's an invitation for you, regardless of where you've been, regardless of what you've done. I urge you to receive the gift of Jesus today. Don't stand in front of your newly renovated home. We got a glimpse of heaven today. Don't stand in front of it with all your friends and your family and all the people standing there with you to share that special moment and to turn away and say, no thanks. How ludicrous is that? Imagine if that happened on the show. You know, we are confident. We are confident that on that day you will receive all that your heart longs for. You will receive a home. You will receive a relationship with God. And you will receive a heaps better relationship with others. So come and collect up the communion this morning. So we might have finished the story. We might have finished reading through this resource. But guess what? The story is not finished. We must go on living the story. And my prayer is that you would do it with all of your passion, that you would do it with your eyes fixed on the King, that you would do it with your eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, and you would do it with your heart set